You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We have bank records that back up everything that is in the laptop, and they very clearly show that there was these bank records that tie Hunter Biden directly with people in China, business people in China that are directly connected with the Chinese Communist Party and the government, and to some extent, maybe the military and the intelligence service.
Pretty damning evidence, would you say? This is March 30, 2022. That's Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican, on the Senate Intel Committee investigating the Hunter Biden laptop, investigating Hunter Biden, and, of course, connections to President Biden. Have you noticed something? Have you noticed how suddenly all the media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, even CNN and NN, are now acknowledging what they denied 17 months ago? Why? Why suddenly the sudden turnaround? I mean, if you're talking about a U-turn, this is it. Why? maybe because Hunter is about to be indicted. Or maybe they just can't defend him anymore. And maybe they're also worried that Joe's so deep into it, that's not going to work out either. Think it over. Why would they suddenly turn everything around? 17 months ago, they denied it, fought against it, said it's lies, Russian disinformation. It continued through the campaign. But if they had released and accepted it when it came out prior to the Trump-Biden election, that could have been destructive to the Biden campaign. In fact, a recent poll shows at least 10% of those surveyed said, I wouldn't have voted for the man if I'd known all that was true. They were so intent on getting Trump out of the White House, they didn't care about democracy. So when you hear Nancy Pelosi say democracy is at stake here in the 2022 election, it's always at stake in every election. And they knew at the time that they were lying and conspiring, a vast web of conspiracy involving Democrats, Democrat Party, intel agencies, and Russian and Chinese intel. Also, there's more evidence now that the teachers' unions were working directly with the White House to draft language to label parents who show up at school boards and dare contest what their kids are being taught because of their age or the fact they just don't want them being taught critical race theory to hate each other because of color. More evidence that the teachers' unions worked directly with the White House to come up with that statement that basically made those parents terrorists. And more evidence that teachers' unions worked with the CDC, and basically telling the CDC when it could open the schools. In other words, telling the CD how to set policies on when schools should open. There need to be a lot of questions asked and many answers. Who knows if we'll get all of them over the next year, 5 years, or 10 years, but we know, don't we? We know. And then, of course, this this Disney wokeness, it's backfiring big time. An insider in Disney says most Disney employees do not want to be part of that. And then those advocating children can decide if they want transgender surgery or if they want puberty blockers, or upset because a mother allowed her teenager to get a nose job. Oh, it's okay to transplant a child from one sex to another, but a nose job? Oh, that's just too far. And then the Will Smith, Chris Rock incident at the Oscars. I know you're like me. You can really give a, you know. But now there's another angle. They're blaming it on white supremacy. Both men black, but it's white supremacy. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
In a Fox News exclusive, Republicans on the House Select Subcommittee on COVID released a report today exposing how the CDC coordinated with the teachers' unions to slow the school reopening process. Emails between the AFT, the Biden White House, and the CDC show that the Biden administration's political leadership at the CDC positioned the union to impose line-by-line edits to the reopening guidance. So how do you obtain such sway? Well, in 2020, 99.9% of the AFT's donations went to Democrats, nearly $1 million. Republicans got $75.
$75? $75 from one teacher filed under the teachers' union's contributions to political candidates. $75. That's a report from Laura Ingraham last night on Fox News talking about this new information showing just how much sway the teachers' union was having regarding CDC rules and guidelines as to when your kids could go to school, and if they did, how often they had to be masked, which was forever, and they would still be doing it, but we got November coming. You can't have kids denied school. You can't have them masked up with elections coming up. My God, are you stupid? Yes, they are, but they're also cunning. And they realize, no, that would not look good, so we need to change things. But going back to the essential, basic point, teachers' unions are deciding the science. I thought we were told repeatedly by Dr. Fake and the rest of them, follow the science. Do you think the teachers' union representatives are smarter when it comes to science than supposedly members of the CDC? Do you think so? Of course you don't. And in fact, there's one congressman that's a doctor, and he also points this out because he knows that when you have something like this happen, when you have the CDC telling teachers' unions, or rather teachers' unions telling the CDC what to be doing, at that point, there is no longer follow the science. Republican North Carolina Congressman Greg Murphy.
I will tell you this. I've been in medicine for 30 years, and the trust for the American people in the CDC and the FDA and the NIH has plummeted because of the actions like these of Dr. Walensky or Dr. Fauci. In fact, in May of last year, I actually found out about this, that she had used language verbatim from the American Federation of Teachers in CDC guidance, which should be a non-event, should never occur. I called for her resignation then, and I'm calling for it again because it is an embarrassment to the field of medicine. The CDC should come out with objective scientific data, not political garbage from the American Federation of Teachers.
Political garbage. I'm sorry, folks. All right, I'm sorry. I'm struggling a little bit today with sinus. Thanks for bearing with me. No, he's right. They should be following science, not directives, basically, from the teachers' union. And again, let me reemphasize what he said. I've been in medicine 30 years. He is an MD. And Congressman Greg Murphy, Republican, North Carolina, is an MD, so he knows of what he speaks. The CDC, by their own statement at cdc.gov, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is the national public health agency of the United States. It is the National Public Health Agency. Well, then, riddle me this. If it's the National Health Public Agency, what is a teachers' union? Larry, it's pretty simple. A teachers' union is a teachers' union. Oh, that's right. You're right. But the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, says that it is the nation's arbitrator and decider of what's a disease, what's a pandemic, how to control it, what should we be doing. But it was being dictated to by teachers' unions in telling them when your children could return to class, if ever, and when they could go to class and not have to wear a mask, if ever. And it was based on, well, the teachers are afraid that, you know, it might end up, they might be compromised. And in the midst of their demands and everything else, these teachers' unions across the nation were going to their various local governments and telling them, well, before we go back in, we're also going to want this and this and this. It had nothing to do with the safety of the teachers. And certainly nothing to do with the safety of your children. It had to do with what they want. And what they want is power. And they got it when it came to dealing with the CDC. Not all teachers like the way this has been handled. And some of them might even actually be members of a teachers' union. But it's the usual, as usual, it's not the union members, it's the union bosses that are deciding the direction the union's going to go. Now, you could say, well, they have a vote on who gets to serve as a boss and so forth. Yeah, they have that. But again, you've got the CDC listening and then suggest actually giving its recommendation list in advance to teachers' unions complaining and letting them edit and add lines or detract lines and then handing it back to the CDC and now say, now you can release it. And it's official because it came from the CDC. And then don't forget, of course, that the CDC was just being compliant to the teachers' unions because there's a lot of lib push inside most teachers' unions. And yet I know teachers that they have worked their hearts and their bodies for long hours doing what they love doing, and that's educating children, not indoctrinating, not suffocating them, not endangering them, not at the expense of the teacher getting everything they want and the students just suffer. And then, of course, don't forget when it came to critical race theory and some of the other issues and transgender sex changes, things of this nature being put into school curriculums, when parents began to realize what was going on and started showing up at school board meetings, once again, here came the teachers' unions. And this time they went to the White House to work with the White House and the Attorney General's office. And again, showing the power they have, the power they want, the power they will achieve. Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio.
We're not saying anyone's guilty of a crime. We're just saying that it's interesting. This is sort of the template for the left, because it wasn't just the teachers union telling the CDC, telling Director Dr. Walensky what to put in the guidance. We have this same pattern with the School Boards Association telling the Biden administration, we want you to treat parents, parents as terrorists. And that's exactly what Merrick Garland did. He sent the memo literally 5 days after that email comes in, that letter comes in. He sends out the memorandum saying treat parents as domestic terrorists. We had a whistleblower come forward and tell us that's exactly what's going on out there. So this is the template. This is the pattern. You work with the outside left wing groups to do what you want to do and put in the policies, put in place policies they want. So they did it with the teachers union, with CDC guidance. They did it with the School Boards Association to target moms and dads.
Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio stating it very clearly. They were using their power because they know they wield a lot of power at the voting ballot to tell the CDC, we will tell you when you can open the schools again. In fact, let us see your release before you give it out to the public. Let us make some changes and amendments on it and then send it back, and then you can release it. And we don't like parents showing up at school board meetings and questioning our curriculum and what we're doing. So let's go to the White House and help them draft us a letter to send to the Attorney General and say, you need to look at these parents as domestic terrorists. Does that sound American to you? No, of course it doesn't. There's nothing American about that process and that approach. If you're going to simply label someone a terrorist because you dislike them, but using the White House to do it and the Attorney General, of course, the Attorney General denied. I never used that phrase. I never called them terrorists. No, we know you didn't, because as dumb as you might seem to be, you are smart enough, you're cunning enough to know don't put that phrase in. But the message to the ranks is very clear. And then again, back to the health of your children. Of course, what they're being taught affects their health as well. But when it came to the trauma we have caused children, the loss of education by lockdowns, not letting them go to school, telling them that they must sit in front of a monitor for 7 hours a day when you probably don't even let your kids sit and watch TV on a weekend. For 7 hours a day, do you? And you certainly don't make them sit there with their mask on. But again, let's go back to someone who has a better understanding, a doctor, who's also a congressman, Republican North Carolina Congressman Greg Murphy.
This administration has made it about politics. They've not made it about science. Remember, they all talked about President Trump and follow the science. But theirs has been totally political. And again, I'm calling for her to resign again. Let us get some credibility. Let us get some reliance of the American people back in our national institutions of health. And let us move forward. But if you're going to make policy and base this upon political unions, the teachers' unions, not the teachers, but teachers' unions themselves, then you're doing a bad job and you need to resign.
And again, that's Congressman Jordan saying that he believes at this point CDC Director Rochelle Walensky should resign because she bowed down to the parents. Congressman James Comer was also talking about how the teachers' unions have been using their power. And in an interview, he said, I don't have a problem with unions trying to advocate for better pay, better working conditions for teachers. But when this comes at the expense of our children, that's not acceptable. And this is another example of Joe Biden abandoning medical science, replacing it with political science in the form of trying to receive political donations from a base of his, the teachers' union. And it's very unacceptable. Well, Congressman Comer, you said it in a much more polite fashion than I would choose. Let's turn our attention to the South, the disaster Biden has created at our border.
Pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes came secondhand from the rich kids next door. When I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels, low number 7. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And
this is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Let me share a quote with you from Senator Bill Hagerty, Republican, Tennessee. Quote, the Biden administration has created the greatest national security crisis that we face as a nation by collapsing our southern border. He goes on to say, and if they go ahead with dropping Title 42, as they're planning on doing May 23rd, even if the CDC doesn't do anything about it, he says the result will be again, and I quote, a massive new wave of illegal immigrants coming across this border. More fentanyl, more drugs, more human trafficking. I want you to stop and think just a moment about human trafficking. If you think of nothing else about what's happening at the border, how many children do you think have been brought across that border that were not with biological parents or relatives? They were being escorted by smugglers. And maybe they were carrying a phone number to call and say, the child's arrived and says they are your cousin or nephew or something like that. And said, yes, they are. Send them on up to me. And our government pays to facilitate that child being delivered to someone claiming to be a relative when, in fact, it might be a pedophile ring. And now the plan of dropping Title 42, as the Biden administration, one of the officials announcing yesterday that we're going to do it by May 23rd. And if they do that, they admit they are expecting a 500,000 500,000 border crossers every month. You want to do some ciphering? Let's just say 10 months times 500,000. Yeah, you got the number, don't you? And they're already estimating we've had at least 2 million come across illegally. And in fact, letters from several Democrats are telling the Biden administration these small border communities lack the appropriate housing, transportation, You got to help them. South Texas mayors are saying the same thing. Senator Mark Warner, Democrat of Virginia, said, I think we are a generous country, but we have to be a country and a rule of law. I'd be worried if we're just going to go ahead and leave the border like this. Why the hell haven't you been speaking out before? But now put this against the backdrop of what's happening at the border. 55 powerful, influential House Democrats are reportedly stiffing the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee. They are not paying the dues that they are owed. That's right, they're not paying them. Senator Pelosi, Democrat of California, of course, is pushing them to pay up, saying that she's going to do her best to force these deadbeats, as she's calling her fellow Democrats, cough up the money. Some of them clearly have it. Congressman Butterfield, Democrat, North Carolina, has $685,000 in a campaign account, but not sending any dues payment to the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee. Why? Well, because many Democrats perceive the 2022 midterm elections as a lost cause. And you know, one of the ones, or some of the ones that are also part of this, this is humorous, really. Among those stiffing and refusing to pay any of their money into the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee are Congresswoman AOC, a Democrat of New York, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Cori Bush, of course, of Missouri, Jamal Bowman. All of the squad members say, I'm not going to give you a dime. I thought they were all about sharing the wealth and being equal and everything like that. I got it. It's just another lie. They're not going to give the money. Pelosi could call them deadbeats for day after day. They don't give a you-know-what. And in the meantime, we still have to deal with Russia-Ukraine issues. Clayton Presbyterian Pastor Emeritus Randy Mayfield is going to join us in the next segment as he's had some late contact with some Ukrainians. His story coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Update out of Ukraine. If you're looking for any good news, it might be this, that Russian soldiers apparently low on morale and some refusing to carry out their orders. But on the other side, Russian forces may be regrouping in Belarus. Heavy shelling reported in eastern Ukraine as they redirect military efforts to the Donbas region. Intense bombardment of the Kharkiv region is not allowing evacuation corridors to open. And when it comes to evacuation from Mariupol, reportedly a convoy of buses trying to leave that besieged city have been held up at a Russian checkpoint in a city between one Ukrainian-held city and a Russian-held city. Joining us on the line now is Randy Mayfield, Pastor Emeritus, Central Presbyterian Church in Clayton, former pastor of mine as well, also the missions pastor for Central. Randy, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Thank you, Larry. Can you hear me okay? You sound really scratchy on my end.
So. Well, I'm sorry. It might be my voice. I don't know. I've been kind of scratchy today.
when the commercials came on, for some reason, it got weird. When your guy called me, it was fine. But anyway, okay. Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm here in California, looking out over the water. It's a
All right. Degrees. All right. You can stop that. Just stop that right there. So you sent me, you have had more contact with some of the folks in Ukraine. These are folks that you met through various trips into Ukraine. And what are you hearing from them at this point?
Well, I was expecting to meet with three or four folks, including our former pastor of our sister church in Zaporozhye. And 18 of my friends showed up at a coffee shop, and we had a great time. They gave me updates.
They showed up. Where? Where did you meet them?
At a coffee shop here in Northern California.
Okay.
They live several. There's about 300 from Zaporozhye in a community here just north of Sacramento.
Okay.
And so we just had coffee and donuts and talked, and it was really providential. I picked a random place. I knew nothing about this area, and the owner was Ukrainian, so he helped interpret for us. It was great.
And what are they saying about the conditions, and how long ago were they in Ukraine?
Well, they have a lot of family in Ukraine still, obviously. All of them have family there. I got some pictures today. I sent you a few of one of my friend's house. His house was just obliterated. And I don't know if they're targeting people, but it seems like churches, seminaries, and pastors' houses, for some reason, are being destroyed.
I clearly say they are. They have hit 60 churches. That's not by accident.
Yeah, not at all. And so they're just obviously concerned, but, you know, they're in pretty good spirits. We were just so happy to see each other. I hadn't seen many of them for several years. And so we had just a great time of catching up, and we had a time of praying for Ukraine and for their folks. And I wrote a song. I'm going to finish it next week. I'll send it to you. It's just a kind of the American national anthem for Ukraine, and it's actually based on some of the Ukrainian national anthem.
Well, of course, you know, President Biden was in Poland the other day and trying to meet with some of the refugees that he came across, and more are still coming. The numbers have been so different, it's hard to tell what the real numbers were. I mean, at one point, we've been told by the UN 4 million have evacuated, and another report said 4 million children have evacuated, which would be half the children. So I don't know how many have actually gotten out. And then now these Safeway passages are either being denied, shut down, or when the evacuees are on the routes, they're being hit by shelling and gunfire.
Yeah, I think the number is close to 4 million, and most of them are women and children, because any man under the age of 60 has to stay and fight. And I'm understanding that a lot of people in the area, the surrounding countries, are going in to help fight, even some Americans, to be mercenaries or whatever.
Yeah, and out of Mariupol, they're on the Black Sea, which has been critical for part of the creating a land bridge for Russia from Donbass to down to the Black Sea. There are reports that folks there are, and I'm reading a quote, they're living like mouse, not mice, but mouse, that's the way they stated it, underground in shelters, bomb shelters, doing their best to be alive at this point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, most of my friends are in bomb shelters. They're in basements of big buildings and churches. And it's true, they've backed off a little bit from Kyiv, where I have a lot of friends in the Kyiv area, but they're really trying to get, down south and east to make their land bridge. And, you know, Putin says they're backing off, and he brought in 140-some thousand new army recruits, and he says it's not for Ukraine, it's just our normal recruiting. Yeah, you know, you're going to believe this guy, but it's pretty bad, especially... Odessa? Odessa's starting to get hit pretty hard. That's the big port down on the Black Sea.
So we also have Belarus troops apparently still amassing that they might be put into action into the upper part. And we've got the Chechenian generals saying, let us go in with 10,000. We'll take control of the entire Kyiv area.
Yeah. It is interesting, though. My friends tell me that they have Belarusian friends and some folks there who are actually coming into Ukraine, refusing to fight for Russia. They may, obviously pay for that later. But those are allies, and they're afraid of Putin. And so some of these countries surrounding them are going to get engaged, but others are helping. And as you know, thousands of Russians don't want to be involved in this at all either. But they're gone. So
yeah, and I, in fact, as you were joining us there, I was pointing out that there's a UK intel report that says many Russian soldiers are low on morale, and they're refusing to carry out orders. Now, this goes all the way back to shortly after that convoy of trucks and tanks got stalled outside Kyiv, that they were out of fuel, and it might have been in some cases because troops were piercing the gas tanks to drain them so they could not move forward.
Yeah. And also, just this time of year, the weather gets real wet and even some snow, and it gets muddy, and a lot of the tanks are getting bogged down. But you may have seen this on the news, but they have 3 or 4 of the Russians army guys who were captured went on and basically apologized and said, we don't want to be here, but, you know.
Well, they're cousins. I mean, in many ways, they're the same. They were all part of the Soviet Union at one time. One of the generals that apparently got stormed out of a meeting when he was asked what he thinks about what's happening in Ukraine. You know, he has cousins and relatives in that part of the area they were targeting.
Exactly, his brothers and sisters across. I mean, there was no border there at one time, and now, you know, they're fighting brothers and sisters, and it's. It's crazy. I think there's just such a fear. Like, I think if it wasn't for fear of their lives, a lot of Putin's underlings would be out of there. Some of them have left, as you know. But
well, the problem is, too, is the Ukrainians who have left, what's their future going to be? Now, if they go into the U.S. or other countries, they may assimilate and stay there. But the Ukraine that you used to visit and serve as a pastor for and as a minister of missions, I don't... Well, you tell me, what do you see for the future with them?
Well, I tell you, it from what I see and from what I hear, it doesn't look good. I mean, I pray they have a future. The Bible talks about a remnant, if there's a remnant left that can rebuild. But, man, you know, Putin, they're just destroying cities and wiping out people, and they're trying to put fear in there. And I think to come back and to rebuild, it can be done. I've seen it in Iraq. I've been in northern Iraq every year, and they destroyed a lot of cities there in Mosul, and they've rebuilt them, so it's possible. It's going to take a lot of work, and I think we, as those who care for Ukrainians, need to remember this is not just a one-month, two-month thing. This is several years that we're going to have to help them. If they're able to go back at all to rebuild, they're going to need a lot of help.
Now, you also have served as a missionary into parts of Russia.
Yes, uh-huh.
And so what about the chances of ever trying to go back into Russia with all this happening?
Wow. I mean, I can't call it. I really can't. I mean, it depends on, you know, when we used to go back into Russia, my first in the 90s and early 2000s, we had a lot of freedom to go and do whatever. I was in hospital schools. That got cut off totally. And any evangelical work going on there, Putin claims to be, you know, Russian Orthodox, but that's just his title. I don't think he's a religious man. But anyway, I mean, how could the devil be a religious man? I guess he's religious. He just doesn't, you know. But I have kept in touch with some of my friends in Russia. Many of them don't understand what's happening. They're not getting the news, and they think everybody online is blowing things out of whack, but now they can't even communicate by Facebook or Instagram anymore. That's been cut off to them as well.
So, they're in the dark, and they don't know what the story is either. Well, I thank you, Randy, for all you had done to help so many up to this point. I'm glad you were able to visit some of the Ukrainians in California and stay in touch with what they're doing with their families. And I don't see it ending soon. They keep talking about peace talks, but the last 30 seconds, what's your thought at this point?
Well, you know, it's our hope and prayer that peace can happen. We always pray for peace. If I look at it humanly through human eyes, it doesn't look really good, but we have to look through God's eyes, and he can do what he wants to do, and we pray that he will redeem that land and give them the country back, and that's our hope, that's our prayer.
Randy, thank you very much.
Thank you, Larry.
You bet. Randy Mayfield, pastor emeritus, Central Presbyterian Church. His remarks remind me of Psalm 46:10. Be still, know I am God. Coming up, oil being released to buy your vote.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
If you want to impress someone, I personally recommend Cafe Napoli, Clayton, our town and country, or St. Charles. Cafe Napoli offers private rooms for up to 50 guests, so plan a corporate party, an anniversary party, a birthday party, a party party. Cafe Napoli has a location near you, Clayton, Town and Country, and St. Charles, where Cafe Napoli 3 is now serving lunch or Sunday brunch, only at Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been, if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I want to add one more story to Russia-Ukraine. I mentioned UK intel is suggesting that Russian troops have low morale, refusing to carry out orders if they can. And according to the UK military chief, he says in many ways Putin has already lost. He's damaged himself through a series of catastrophic misjudgments. But of course, that doesn't mean it's going to end anytime soon. Now, I want to compare a couple of things here for you. The Lincoln Project co-founder, George Conway, on MSNBC says that he's upset with former President Trump for calling on Putin to release any dirt he might have on the Hunter Biden story. And he said, this is Conway speaking. You're sitting next to somebody on a plane or the bus. They're just talking about wacky things. They don't affect you. But this is what he's doing. He seems to be deteriorating in this way. The other day, he's asking Putin to release all the materials on Hunter Biden. Why? We're in the middle. Putin is killing civilians in Ukraine, and Donald Trump, all he cares about is, hey, you may not like Joe Biden because he's trying to help you from killing civilians. So, hey, let's talk about Hunter Biden. Give us all your stuff on Hunter Biden. I mean, that's just absolute lunacy. So says George Conway. He says that Trump is a pathological narcissist, a sociopath. Now, contrast his remarks, and of course, he's MSNBC, Lincoln Project co-founder, clearly liberal, and to how he sees Trump by simply saying, give us what all you got on Hunter, and saying he's not really caring about the people. Contrast that to what President Joe Biden is doing. He's just announced an unprecedented release of oil from U.S. reserves. We have a stockpile reserve of 600 million barrels of crude oil stored in underground salt caverns in Louisiana and Texas. Now, we released some before. Biden did right before Thanksgiving, so your price for fuel would go down so you could travel for Thanksgiving and the holidays. Then they went back up after the Russian invasion. Some oil prices are up or down. It's, you know, it is fluctuating. We understand that. But Biden is doing this for what? Because he wants votes. Now, you tell me who's more crass and out of line. Trump telling Putin, give us what you got on Hunter Biden. Or Biden himself saying, I'm going to let loose we're going to release 180 million barrels of oil, 180 million. That's out of the 600 stored right now. They say we're going to use that to kind of be a bridge until U.S. and global oil companies ramp back up. Why would he be doing that now? Because he knows when you go to the pump and you keep seeing that thing go up and up and up, and you think, whoa, whoa, whoa. And elections are coming up at midterm. He sees why many Democrats, as I told you earlier, are stiffing the Democrat congressional campaign. They're not giving campaign money out of their coffers. They see it's going to be a losing election in 2022. Biden's trying to salvage it. He's selling our oil reserve or making it available, which is meant to be for a true emergency. Higher gas prices, it might hurt you. I understand that, and some more than others. But it's not a true emergency. But if we're going to continue down this road, we'll have an emergency. And, oh, yeah, Biden also said, I'm going to get tough on some of these companies that are producing from their leased acres and You know, they've just not been doing what they should do. They're going to have to pay fees on wells they haven't used in years. All everything about this guy and the Democrats is more taxes, more money, that'll solve everything. And, of course, it all begins with the green sky and the pie theory. Just don't have enough gas to run gas cars. You'll have to get an electric car or mass transportation, electric transportation, or bicycle, or walk, or go back to horses. Find an Amish community and move in. You might be prepared for the future. Releasing 180 million barrels of oil. On average, a million on the market every day for the next 6 months. We'll see if it even affects the prices to begin with. Secondly, if you'd let the oil companies do their damn job and make sure Keystone is operational, that might be a bigger solution, would it not? But it doesn't fit with the green plan, Larry. I know, but common sense is not going to prevail. Coming up, more evidence from the Hunter laptop that Joe Biden, well, let's see how far this goes. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.